Welcome to episode 216 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the Gospel of John, the 34th book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. John 1 verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Apostle John is the author of 5 New Testament books: the Gospel that bears his name, the 3 short epistles that also bear his name, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. It is believed that he may have been a disciple of John the Baptist before he becomes a disciple of Jesus. John is part of Jesus' inner circle, and along with Peter and James, John is given the privilege of witnessing Jesus' conversation with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Tradition says that he is the youngest of the disciples whom Jesus calls, perhaps even younger than 18. His importance in the 12 grows as he matures, and after the crucifixion, he becomes a pillar in the Jerusalem church, according to Galatians 2 verse 9. He ministers with Peter and is exiled to the Greek island of Patmos by the Romans, where he receives from God important visions that come to comprise the book of Revelation. The Apostle John is the brother of James. His parents are Zebedee and Salome, and the family business is fishing. The brothers are called by Jesus Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, and therein we find a key to John's personality. Both brothers are characterized by zeal, passion, and ambition. In his early days with Jesus, at times John acts rashly, recklessly, impetuously, and aggressively. We see him in Mark 9 forbidding a man to cast out demons in Jesus' name because he's not part of the 12. Jesus gently rebukes him, saying no one can cast out demons in Jesus' name, and then turn around and speak evil of him. In Luke 9 verses 51 to 54, we see the brothers wanting to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans who refuse to welcome Jesus. Again, Jesus has to rebuke them for their intolerance and lack of genuine love for the lost. John's zeal for Jesus is also influenced by his natural ambition, as seen in his request through his mother that he and his brother be seated on Jesus' right and left hands in the kingdom, an incident that causes a temporary rift between the brothers and the other disciples. In spite of these youthful expressions of misdirected passion, John ages well. It's not how one starts, it's how one finishes. He begins to understand the need for humility in those who desire to be great. John's is the only gospel that records Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Jesus' simple act of servanthood must have impacted John greatly. By the time of the crucifixion, Jesus has enough confidence in the young man to turn the care of his mother over to him, a charge John takes seriously. From that day on, John cares for her as if she is his own mother. John's rash request for special honor in the kingdom gives way to a compassion and humility that will characterize his ministry in his later life. Although he remains courageous and bold, his ambition is balanced by the humility he learns at Jesus' feet. The willingness to serve others and suffer for the sake of the gospel must have enabled him to bear his final imprisonment on Patmos, where, according to reliable historical sources, he lives in a cave, cut off from those he loves, and is treated with cruelty and reproach. In the opening of the book of Revelation, which he receives from the Holy Spirit during this time, he refers to himself as your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. He has learned to look beyond his earthly sufferings to the heavenly glory that awaits all who patiently endure. John is passionately devoted to the proclamation of truth. No one in Scripture, except Jesus, has more to say about the concept of truth. His joy is proclaiming the truth to others and then watching them walk in it. His strongest condemnation is for those who pervert the truth and lead others astray, especially if they claim to be believers. His passion for truth fuels his concern for the sheep who might be deceived by false teachers, and his warnings about them take up much of 1 John. He has no qualms about identifying as false prophets and antichrists those who try to pervert the truth, even proclaiming them to be demonic in nature. At the same time, John is also called the Apostle of Love. In his own gospel, he refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He is depicted as the one leaning against Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. His brief second epistle is filled with expressions of his deep love for those in his care. He addresses his first epistle to a group of believers whom I love in the truth and exhorts them to love one another by walking in obedience to Jesus' commands. John's life serves to remind us of several lessons which we can apply to our own lives. First, zeal for the truth must always be balanced by a love for people. Without it, zeal can turn to harshness and judgmentalism. Conversely, abundant love that lacks the ability to discern truth from error can become gushing sentimentality. As John learns, as he matures, if we speak the truth in love, we and those we touch will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Second, confidence and boldness, not tempered by compassion and grace, can quickly turn to pride and smugness. Confidence is a wonderful virtue, but without humility, it can become self-confidence, which can lead to boasting and an attitude of exclusiveness. When that happens, our witness of the grace of God is tainted, and others see in us exactly the kind of person they wish not to be. Like John, if we are to be effective witnesses for Christ, our demeanor should be one that shows a passion for the truth, compassion for people, and a steadfast desire to serve and represent our Lord by reflecting his humility and grace. We know that the Apostle John is exiled for his faith late in life. The Bible does not give details on how he dies, but tradition gives us a few theories. The most plausible theory of John's death states that he's arrested in Ephesus and faces martyrdom when his enemies throw him in a huge basin of boiling oil. However, according to the tradition, John is miraculously delivered from death. The authorities then sentence John to slave labor in the mines of Patmos. On this island in the southern part of the Aegean Sea, John has a vision of Jesus Christ and writes the book of Revelation. He's later freed, possibly due to old age, and he returns to what is now Turkey. He dies as an old man, sometime after AD 98, the only apostle to die peacefully. Ultimately, it is not essential to know how the Apostle John dies. What is important is the fact that he is not ashamed of Christ and is willing to die for his faith. A man will not die for something he knows to be a lie. John knows the truth that Jesus has been resurrected and he's willing to die rather than renounce his faith in the Savior. Father, thank you for the example of John the Apostle. Like him, may we have a passion for the truth, but may our truth be balanced with love and our boldness tempered by compassion. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.